Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to another exciting video talking about our relationship with God. As we've always stated up front, and number one, we're endeavoring to help you to have a tangible relationship with the Lord. The more real God is to you, the easier it is for you to connect with Him in everything you do, and the easier it is for you to get your prayer answered, which is number two. Number three is taking your testimonies and beginning to share those with others. So we started, I know we put little names on our videos, and this series is about the tree of good and evil. The reason why we stated that is because man wasn't made to actually live out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was supposed to take of the tree of life and live forever in a perfect state. Something we get to enjoy right here on the earth, perfect in spirit. Of course, our flesh and our mind is learning and growing. But then, of course, when we're with the Lord, perfect in every way, spirit, soul, and body. So man, when he took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he introduced evil into the world, at the same time good. And the paradox of the two fighting against each other becomes the reason why mankind struggles and continues to struggle generation after generation, millennial after millennial, with themselves. And God comes to give us true victory. Now, as we shared the other day in Titus 2, 11 and 12, number one of the things that grace teaches us is the negativity of the world. At the same time, grace also teaches us the goodness of God. So you can see it right there, the good and the evil, or the evil and the good. And grace is going to help you. In other words, God's influence is going to help you to see both. Because many times what we're wanting to experience in God is just very simply letting go of our previous experiences with the world. Well, every time we get together, we always give you the invitation that God, through Jesus, gave to us about having a relationship with the Father. Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible says, "And now Jesus resumed talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." What a wonderful invitation. I never get tired of quoting those particular verses, especially in the Message translation, because it's nothing more than the desire of every person's heart. And even those who don't know God as Lord and personal Savior, if they were to see the significance of God in another life, they would want that kind of relationship with God themselves. All right, let's move on here. Two, there's nothing good of the flesh and the world. Now, as we get into some of these things, I'm going to be sharing with you, there's five pillars that we must begin to discuss. And we have actually talked a little bit about some of those. But these five pillars start with and end with the bookends of Scripture. And what are those? Genesis and Revelation. You need Genesis to figure out and see how God wanted things to be at the beginning. And then you need the book of Revelations to see how it's all going to end up in the end. There's many things that we can experience out of the book of Genesis as far as how man lost his way and the intention of what things were originally from God toward man. And then there's many things that you see in the book of Revelation. Of course, one of them is there's some pretty bad stuff getting ready to happen to this earth, and God's going to refurbish the whole place and redo it. So if heaven's going to kind of melt things down and build it back up, then probably you don't want to be too attached to the things of this world, because they're all going to fade and they're all going to disappear. But the things of the Lord will remain forever. Now, in between, the other three pillars are, number one, there's nothing good of the flesh and the world. Number two, all sins are forgiven. And number three, all prayers are answered. Okay, well, we're going to get into some of these things. But the first one we're going to get into is there's nothing good of the flesh in the world. And I almost dropped my iPad right there. Okay. All right. So we're going to look at a couple of things here that I think are just very good, and look into some words and their meaning. You know, the meaning of words is extremely important, how we see things. So I'm going to share these first few things with you a lot. And that is number one. If you want to be right, you have to be willing to be wrong. Or I could say it like this: you'll never be right until you're willing to be wrong. Number two, if you want to actually possess something, you have to be willing to give it away. Or you could say it this way: you'll never really have anything until you're ready to get rid of it, or ready to give it away, or lose it. Number three, if you really want to live, you have to be willing to die. I know that's a big one right there. But all of these statements, these three statements, they're attached to many different words that I'm going to give you right now that all have to do with the world and how we've been trained. Oh, you know, I wish, and so do you, that we were just trained by Jesus himself in the perfect world where our environment was nothing but health and strength and victory and the knowledge of God and the peace and love of Christ. I wish that was the environment we were all raised in, where we were never under the law, but we were just in amazing relationships that brought out the very best of us at all times. But that's not necessarily accurate for the last 6,000 years, where man has, through wrong information of the flesh and the world, been contriving a world that is really, really discombobulated, messed up, and distorted. And if we don't recognize the distortions, the inconsistencies, then you're probably swimming right in the middle of them. I've said it like this: if you don't feel like following Christ, you're going upstream and there's a current against your legs and you're having to push yourself forward to make progress upstream, maybe that's because you're actually going with the stream. And that wouldn't be good, because that means how you do life is how you'll do faith. And if faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life. Now, I know we've given you quite a few of these little sayings of mine, but they're really, really good. And I'm going to say that again: how you do life is how you'll do faith. And if your faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life. In other words, your perspective of what's real and the choices you make, how you make decisions, has everything to do with how you do life. And if your faith isn't working, that means the way you see things doesn't work well with God, because it's of the flesh and of the world. You'll hear these statements more and more as we go on, but the more absolute you can become in the way you see life and make choices, the greater your connections will be to the Lord. I'll tell you a story. I remember years ago when I was in the Rhema Singers and Band, and we were down in Florida, Miami, Florida, doing a Holy Ghost meeting with Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, Brother Hagin. And we sang "I Surrender All" in four-part harmony. I actually sang the bass, and everybody else was in three-part above me. You know, the tenor, the alto, the soprano. And it was beautiful. And while we were singing "I Surrender All, I Surrender All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I Surrender All," while we're singing that, people are just worshiping. "Yes, Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah." It seemed to be a really wonderful moment. And Brother Hagin got up, and the first thing he said is, "I never did like that song." And all of us are like looking at the carpet going, "Oh my gosh, I don't want to look at the people." We were red in the face. We just felt terrible. And then he went on to say this: "I never did understand that song." He said, "When I came to Jesus, I gave him everything that I am." He said, "I don't have anything else to surrender now that hasn't already been surrendered many years ago." And all of a sudden, you see the difference in how people did life back in the day that Brother Hagin was coming to the Lord in his teens, and how people have changed things to do life in the day that maybe I was a teenager, and how things have changed even now that my kids have gone from teenage years into their 20s. Things have changed quite a bit. And because of those changes, if we don't recognize the changes, we might be going along with them like this is how things are today. This everybody just kind of does it like this. Well, if everybody's doing it like that, are they all getting answers from God? Are they connected to Christ? Do they hear God more than they hear the world? Do they recognize his presence more than to do the things of this life? Do they actually desire God more than the things they desire of the flesh and the world? Because these are the questions that must be asked, which are the tough questions that help you to actually make the kind of progress you need to make. Because as much as we want to make all this spiritual progress, some of the greatest progress is just letting go of the things that we've been progressing in, which is the flesh and the world, so that we can connect to God, where things become very spiritual in nature and very powerful. God has never had a problem being God. So if you can get yourself out of the way so that God can just continue to be God, he'll always do what he's always done. And he's always blessed those that were open enough to receive the blessing. He's always healed everybody that came to him with an open heart to be healed. He's always poured out his favor upon people when their hearts truly love him. When they put him first, he always adds everything and brings all the blessings that you could ever imagine into your life. Instead of you having to find them, he actually brings them to you. But your heart then is seeking him and him first in all that you do. God never has stopped being God, and he'll never change. So if we're not seeing what he always was, and we know he always will be, then it's because we're not seeing life accurately. Well, is this blessing you? We're already 13 minutes in, and I'm just kind of touching the subject. So let's just touch the first word, which is compromise. Or I'll tell you what, I'll give you all the words that I'm going to share with you in just a few moments. Compromise, accommodating, appeasing, rationale, and reasoning. Do you know what all those words are? Those are words that actually fit this present world, but they're not words of Christ. They are not words of heaven, but they are words of this earth. So as we begin to get into these, I know you're going to see some things. And it's good. It really is good, even if we see some things within ourselves. The greater you can come to terms with who you are, the easier it is for the real you to find him. Sometimes maybe we hide ourselves in a closet of bones and skeletons. We find it difficult to find ourselves. Maybe that's one of the reasons why it's very difficult to find the Lord, because we don't even know ourselves anymore. I know this is really heavy. This is already a little bit tough. But remember, the tree of good and evil. So grace, Titus 2, 11 and 12, always goes towards the negative first, then towards the positive. You say, how come it would do that? Because we're living in a negative world. Which is, by chance, you're probably connected to more negative things than you are positive things. And if you want to connect to more positive things, you've got to let go of more negative things so you have hands that are free to connect to positive things. It's like walking into a room and every single outlet has every single plug receptacle filled with cords. And yet all those cords are connected to the flesh and the world. And you want to connect yourself to God. What are you going to have to do in order to free up a receptacle? You're going to have to unplug something. And the moment you start unplugging and you see the benefit of connecting to God immediately, you're going to want to unplug as much as you possibly can about your life that's connected to the flesh and the world. All right, that's all we're going to do right now for our time, because we've already gone almost 15 minutes. So I'll just tell you one of the great stories, which is so cool. Aaron and I were out yesterday at Good Home. I think it's called Good Home Store. I might have got that wrong, but it's a store with all kinds of things that's attached to actually TJ Maxx, and it has all kinds of Christmas things in it right now, decorations for the home. Aaron went ahead and filled up a cart full, not all the way full, but there were some big items in there, but filled up her cart, and we're standing in line, and we're going to be meeting some friends to go out to eat. And the line is so long, and there's only two attendees at the registers. And I'm telling you, it is a 30-minute line, I would think, but every bit of 15 minutes to 20 minutes. And we've only got 10 minutes. We have to go across the street to get our reservation that we made And so obviously I could tell my friends, hey, why don't you get the reservation? But who knows how long we're going to be actually waiting. So both of us, you know, left, and Aaron said, do something with the cart. Well, it was a wraparound line with a really big partition. So I actually just parked it right over in the line up against some other items. And we left. And we went and had a wonderful dinner at a really nice Mexican restaurant, finished up with our fried ice cream. And when we got in the car, I know we both weren't intended to do this, but I just had this idea. I said, you know what? Let's go back there. What if our shopping cart's still there? And she said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it if it would be. And she even grabbed a cart while I ran in, and I went around the bend, and sure enough, our cart was still there. There was hardly anybody in the line. And we grabbed our cart and we're laughing as we went up to the cash register and checked out with all of our items. And it was almost like, and it was about an hour and maybe 30 minutes later, our cart was still there and we had all our items. Doesn't that just sound like a great story? Well, it does to me. I love how the Lord does things for us as we just connect to Him and just devalue the things of the world. Then God all of a sudden becomes so real. Hey, go to YouTube, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe so you can watch these videos. I know they're helping people. And then if you'd like to go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, you can go ahead and follow us. You can always go to jimhockaday.com and you'll find an email that is jhmi@jimhockaday.com. And if you'll take that email and fill it out where you send us your grace stories, we'll share those. We won't share your name unless you tell us to, but we'll share those stories so other people can see the kind of things that God can and does do all around us at all times if we'll just pay attention. See you next time. Bye-bye.